Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a Friday morning. You made it. You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. How's it going, buddy?
Pretty good, buddy.
What's going on, female buddy?
Doing good, buddy.
The great weather run continues.
Oh, nice.
We're at 57 degrees right now. It's going to be windy today. And it's going to dip a little bit, but we'll be in the 50s throughout the whole day. It does say we already hit our high of 70. But again, like this weekend, clouds.
Cool and nice.
Yeah, no rain, but 50s and 60s Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. By the way, I want to make sure the folks that get up early with us understand they have a chance to win
$5,000. $5,000, get your ass up.
It's easy to win. You don't even have to get up. You can lay in your bed, download the Odyssey app, log in, and listen to WCMF for a minimum of an hour each day. But that's like, it just goes right by because we're so awesome. When you listen for an hour, that is your daily entry. One winner in this national contest will go away with
$5,000
every single day. Fall into 5K with your friends in the break room. Download the app. Good luck here on CMF. Everybody have a good Halloween.
Quiet.
So how many trick-or-treaters did you get?
Zero.
You got none?
Wow.
None-treaters.
So what'd you do with the candy?
I brought it in.
Okay. We're going to have a fight right now. Mm. We're going to have a fight. And well, look, we intentionally went out of our way because there's like this like hack thing that every radio show does. The top list, candy top list. Mm. The top best candy in America. Like, I like the bird. Power ranking number one. Mm. But you said something that got me so mad.
Really?
You said that your wife was responsible for the candy.
Right. And she was like last minute Lois heading out to Wegmans. Like, I kept going, are you going to go? Are you going to go? You go. She goes, I got time. I go. So I came home yesterday and I said, because y'all were talking about.
Sometimes it runs out. Or like they, like I don't know if they take it away or what. Yeah.
We'll get to that after you.
So I said, the Pickens,
yourself.
I go, you're going too late. There's not going to be anything left. Uh-huh. So my wife comes home. She scored the candy. She got the bags of candy. Nice. Three nice bags of candy.
Okay. You said you got crab candy.
Oh, total crab
candy. Okay, so when Kimmy, when he said crab candy, I thought Tootsie Rolls.
Yeah,
what are you thinking?
All the chewiest of chewy candy.
Well, these got chew.
Like that, go ahead.
What'd you get? What'd you
first
get?
Of all, she got Baby Ruth.
Delicious.
Blows
butt.
I've never been a Baby Ruth person, but it's not
blows
bad candy.
Master level butt, that candy.
Master level
blows
butt?
Level butt. Master level butt, what am I? It's one of the best karate places.
It's the high chi of blowing butt.
Bro, Baby Ruths are good.
No, they're not.
Yes, they
are. It's depression Babe Ruth candy.
No, anytime you have candy in your hand, it's depression
it
candy.
It looks like a turd. Matter of fact, it was a turd.
All candy bars
meatballs.
Look like a turd.
Okay. No, it wasn't meatballs. Like, it was Caddyshack. Duty. Get your 80s movies right, Broseph. Broseph Stalin.
It was still a really good, you know, Bill Murray vehicle.
Baby Ruth is good. Okay, but look, I understand there are some people that'll disagree with you. But then there's another candy you said also sucks.
The worst is Nestle's Crunch.
Get out. This is peak Nestle Crunch season.
Thank you.
It's the worst.
Nestle Crunch might be the best
candy
bar that exists.
Cereal in I want a chocolate bar.
Okay.
I don't want cereal in my chocolate. Yeah.
I love how you argue that Baby Ruths are like old school depression food here. You know what I like? Just a big old hunk of chocolate. Just give me chocolate.
Give me a standard Hershey bar. Give me some M&Ms. Give me milk chocolate.
No, there is milk chocolate in a Nestle Crunch.
Yeah.
Nestle Crunch
What's
is amazing.
What's the crunch bar? I didn't get it.
It's
like
rice.
I think it's like puffed rice.
What's rice in your... It's
the texture. It's all about the texture.
Oh, there's a ton of candy bars that have that.
Oh, it's so nasty.
Every time you have if your kid is going to sell candy bars, they have the crisp riced version. That's how popular that kind of candy is.
I figure you can't miss with two or three standard candies like every kid's going to eat.
All right, go for it.
Eureka.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
Well, but then you run the risk of kids allergic to peanut butter.
That's why I say there's three.
Okay.
Kit Kat.
Kit Kat's
Kit Kat's
good,
Kat's
but
solid.
You could also make the argument that's an older candy because
that's
what Italians eat with their coffee.
Yeah, but people love the Kit Kat.
Look, I love Kit Kat.
I do, but is it more of an adult favorite than a kid favorite?
Yep, I think she's right.
And then M&M's, You can't go wrong.
Nobody because, nobody eats M&M's.
Really? But you better tell them to stop advertising.
Well, maybe they have to advertise so much because nobody's eating M&M's.
Oh, is that what it is?
Well, I'm just saying, you never see
Crunch doesn't have to do anything.
Well, you never see a Nestle Crunch commercial, do you?
Because nobody wants your cereal.
Right, you never see, Rolex doesn't have to advertise. I'm just saying.
Yeah, but they kind of do.
Not to you, though.
So, yes, lousy candy. I brought it all in because I know somebody will eat it upstairs.
By the way, here's how off you are on your candy take. And I have proof of it last night because we live in the middle of Halloween Central. We get like...
Yeah, you're like the busiest spot in town.
Yeah, you said it's like Woodstock walking around.
No exaggeration, 1,500 to 2,000 kids.
That's insane.
I mean, it's shoulder to shoulder in my neighborhood for
how
like
many kids we got
3 hours.
In these towns?
What is that?
I don't know.
How many kids we got in town?
Is these towns.
So my wife a couple of weeks ago, like 3 weeks ago, goes out and buys like 10 bags of candy. Yeah. And I always bust my wife's balls every year because, well, chops, you know, no balls.
Gotcha.
And I always tell her, like, look, they will always sell you candy, right? So because of that, in protest, I started sneaking. I opened one bag of candy.
You started tapping?
Yeah. So they had the Reese's Pumpkins, which are delicious. Delicious. Mm. They had Marshmallow Kit Kat, which I was... like,
not really sold on that.
Look,
one.
I was nervous about it, but I had it. Unbelievably good. Right. And then white chocolate Kit Kat, right?
Okay.
So the last 4 Sundays, I've just been hammering this candy. And I realized...
Cheat day scarf down?
You got it. I ate a whole bag of candy.
The
whole thing. Right. So on Sunday, I didn't realize my wife was in the kitchen, and I was going into the bag of candy, and she caught me, and she was furious, furious.
Well, times are tight around your house.
Well, she's like, well, we need all this candy, and we're going to run out, and no, we're not. There's no going to be no candy at the grocery store. Yeah. And I was smug about it.
Yeah.
I will admit. Okay. Oh, what are you going to do?
I'm going to run out. Okay.
Wegmans is not going to sell you Halloween candy. So
okay.
So yesterday, to be a dick, I was going to go buy like 5 bags of candy on top of what we had, right? So after the show, I go out to Wegmans, and I get there, and there was no kid. There was no candy.
Yeah.
So I panic, right? I panic. But I live in Henrietta. There's 1,000 places to get candy.
Yeah.
So I'm like, no big deal. I'll go to the Walgreens next to the Wegmans. Walk in, no candy.
No kidding.
No candy. There's a CVS across the street. I walk in, caramel chews.
Ugh.
Ew. So everybody's tapped out. Not even bother.
What the hell happened?
So then you got to go big bar.
Well, no,
so they didn't even have like the cheap little like dum-dum lollipops, nothing?
No.
Damn.
The caramel chews is what they had. I just rolled the dice because we had like 9 to 11 bags.
That's a ton of candy.
But again, we came down to the wire last night with everybody, but like having to go to my wife. Because she expected me to come home with more candy.
Yeah.
And I thought she had forgotten. And as we're pouring the candy out, about to go outside to hand it out, she goes, so where's the new bags? But the reason I bring this up is I was worried we didn't have enough chocolate because I ate one of the 4 chocolate bags.
Yeah.
Kids don't want chocolate anymore.
What is wrong with children?
They want like the Skittles and
but
stuff.
But chocolate's like number one. Yeah, is milk chocolate. It's the original biblical candy.
I don't think they had chocolate in the Bible.
Yes, they did.
What
from Africa.
What story was
like that? Didn't they have the cocoa bean in Africa and they made the chocolate? Yeah, chocolate was invented in Africa.
What biblical story had chocolate in it?
All of them. The wise men brought chocolate. It just melted.
Gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
I think there was chocolate also.
Is myrrh kind of chocolate?
Chocolate like a South American thing?
No. It's all grown in Africa.
I don't think so.
I'm pointing to you for some reason.
Why are you pointing to me?
Because.
Well, no, because why?
Because you study these things.
Well, I study Africa.
You're a big history guy.
I don't remember how my wife was born in Jamaica.
You liked history and you were fat, so I know you looked up the history of chocolate.
Yeah, you know me, man.
The history of chocolate, the history of hoagies.
African hoagies.
I'm just going to read this really
quick. I would love an Africa hoagie. I bet it's delicious.
Chocolate is native to Central and South America. The history of chocolate can be traced back over 4,000 years to present day, what is present day Mexico.
I do feel like there's chocolate in Africa, too. I think you can make chocolate in Africa.
I think most of our cocoa comes from Africa.
Okay, again, she read you the thing.
I stand behind Africa.
I'm just telling you what it says.
What?
The cocoa tree is in South America.
So, to get back to what we were talking about before we went off on an African history tangent.
Yeah.
There were the top 3 candies that were taken because my wife also she puts every candy in the bowl so every kid can pick what they want.
So it's mixed up.
All right, number one, Nerds gummy clusters were by far the most popular.
Man.
Kids love that stuff.
It's got
right
no
now.
Taste no more.
Kids got no taste no
it's
more.
It's got to be something in the milk.
Two, kids don't drink milk anymore. Two, Swedish fish. Ugh, we're flying
that is
Swedish
disgusting.
Fish.
That's hard to eat.
It's like eating jelly.
My dad loves Swedish fish. Like
those
that is
nasty.
His favorite candy.
Well, by the way, you can't eat that stuff. You have dental work.
He loves that, and he loves those little like the chewiest of chewy candies.
And your old man's got a. He's my age.
Yeah.
So you,
no, I know.
Old people, you're picking that stuff out
I don't
of your
know
teeth
how he
through
eats
Christmas.
It.
Can I point out, we're talking about kids, and you go, you can't eat Swedish fish without dental work? Hey, kid, your crown's going to get pulled out.
Some of these young kids got the bad teeth.
Shut up. Nerds, the Nerds Glummy Clusters, the Swedish fish, and there were these sour, they were like Sour Patch, like Twizzler looking things. Mm. Those were the ones. The kids want sour and like chewy. They don't want chocolate.
I think that's a candy that you love as a kid, but you grow out of.
Agreed. Because
I did like that stuff, too, as a kid. Remember, like, what were they called? Warheads?
Yep.
Like, you didn't enjoy it. You just wanted to see how sour of a candy you could eat.
It took off parts of your mouth.
It did.
Like, it literally disintegrated the piece of gum up here. It was gone. 252-WCMF, talking about Halloween candy. Tommy gets no trick-or-treaters last night. Craps all over the delicious candy that his wife's got. But, I mean... I guess the only thing you're right about is the kids don't seem to be as into chocolate as we were when we were kids.
Mm-hmm.
My wife, this was weird. My wife is not a big candy person.
Okay.
Yeah, last night as we're sitting outside, I watched her eat like six little bags of the Nerds Gummy Clusters.
Oh. And she was just bored sitting there?
Yeah, I know. But like, I didn't think, like, there are those moments where it's like you think you know your spouse.
Yeah.
I did not see my wife enjoying Nerds Gummy Clusters last night. Oh. What are you, 12? I'm judging you. How dare you? Kimmy, you said that you got trick-or-treaters for the first time, like, ever last
night? Like, we always buy candy just in case, but, like, the last few years, like, maybe you get, like, I don't know if we have ever had more than 5 kids walking through, and this year, from about 7 o'clock to 8, we got about, I would say, like, minimum 30 kids. I was just, like, not prepared for that at all. I started to panic, like, where can I find candy or something that I could give away in my house because I don't want to short anybody.
It is funny when you start to see the bottom of the bowl and you're not sure
what
trick or treat.
We were getting real close.
It's a very stressful holiday.
3 pieces of candy left.
It really is. It's
the
a stressful,
least stressful
holiday.
Holiday.
No, but like for the people that are giving out this candy,
mm-hmm.
like you're scared you're going to run out and then you're going to look like
it's a judgment
King and Queen
call.
Chintz.
Yeah, because the first like 2 little kids that walked in, I was like, "Yeah, take as many as you want," because I figured that was all we'd get. Whoops, I'd like to have that back.
So, like, I wonder how many neighborhoods, because like we know people are moving all over the greater Rochester area. Families are buying homes in places that they wouldn't have normally because of how expensive living places are. Mm-hmm. Right? I wonder how many folks last night that have lived places for years and years and years.
Maybe it's turning over a little.
Yeah, they saw an influx of trick or treaters, like towns like Irondequoit, certain parts of Greece, Gates that were.
Yeah.
Older neighborhoods, right, that all of a sudden they got kids in them. And you were woefully unprepared, grabbing packages of Pop-Tarts out of your pantry to give to kids, which I would be fine with, by the way.
A Pop-Tart?
Oh, yeah, as a kid.
Pop-Tarts
really?
Are great.
All the, sometimes, like, those unique things you got as a kid were, like, the most memorable.
Breakfast?
Like, let's go back to that house.
Bro, I would kill for a Pop-Tart. Like, they're the worst. They're literally the worst thing you can eat. Don't look at the back of the Pop-Tart box.
Don't,
But
it's just dough and sugar.
Yeah, but don't check the serving size.
Dude,
a little fatty.
It's like one of those sneaky foods where if you look at the, like, no, that's not right.
Well, it's a pastry.
It can't be right. No, but it's like, it's only that big.
Yeah.
It's only that big. Somehow the ones without the frosting have more sugar.
Really?
Than the ones with the
frosting.
How
does that work?
I don't know. Or maybe it's more fat. But it was like one of those things, like, this isn't even a good Pop-Tart.
Are they like high in calories?
Yeah, of course they're high in calories. You can put it in your car. You can drive 45 miles. That's how much is in there.
Wow.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Seems it was just a matter of time before they figured this out.
What happened?
Well, for years, this was just happening for joyrides.
Mm.
But now, this crime could have 2 victims. The person who got ripped off.
Yeah.
And the person who thinks they're getting a great deal on a new ride. You hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock 96.5, WCMF, the state of New York. is warning residents in a rise in online car scams.
So what are they doing?
Well, specifically, cars for sale on places like Facebook Marketplace, Craigslist, etc.
Yeah.
That are actually stolen.
What?
So far, the state DMV says they've recovered 200 cars that have been bought by victims in New York, some of them locally here in Rochester, and they bought them having no idea they were actually stolen cars.
So are they mostly Kias then?
It doesn't say. I would assume.
That's the one that's getting ripped.
Let's assume Kia and Hyundai. Those are the two. And I know there are some folks listening right now that they go, I'm really smart. I'm a smart person.
Yeah.
And I am not dumb enough to fall for something like this because I would just make sure all the paperwork is in order.
Okay.
And I am good.
All right. It's all buttoned up.
Yeah. Well, the state says these scammers are a step ahead of you there, that they will alter ID numbers and forge titles. So you would have no idea that the car you're buying off of Facebook Marketplace and Craigslist was actually stolen.
So it looks legit.
So yes. Like even if you tried to do your research, you still are going to get scammed most likely.
What it seems. Unless there's information we don't have, 252-WCMF. We backed into this information a couple of weeks ago when a woman called us and explained that the state will take you at your word if you say you lost the title for your car.
Oh.
Remember?
And they'll send you another one?
Yes. This is a woman who used to work in a car dealership and said, yeah, this would happen all the time, and they'll just send you a new title. So before we get into this, serious question.
Yeah.
If I go out and I buy a stolen car off of Facebook, right, and it turns out the police come to my door and they go, listen, I'm really sorry, that car you bought was stolen. Am I out the car and the money?
Yeah. Well,
where would you get your money back?
Yeah.
That guy's gone.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
Catch him and he's got...
He's not gonna get the money.
Yeah, it's impossible.
By the way, look how you say him. Could be a woman stealing your car.
Oh, lady's coming up into thieving.
So you'd be double effed in that situation.
You'd have no car, no money. Yep. And your money be gone.
Yeah,
your
forever.
Car budget is out the window.
Exactly.
Oh man.
So what may be the most interesting part of this story? We know that car thievery, especially with Kias and Hyundais, have been on the rise and a problem for about 5 years.
Yeah.
Now, right? The issues with the Kias and the Hyundais allowing them to be stolen so easily, no real fix coming from the manufacturers, which, sidebar, it's been 5 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. And Kia and Hyundai have come out multiple times and said, got it all under control.
Right.
And then they settled with the car owners. What? It was like a $3,000 settlement for folks that have had issues with the stolen cars. That ended? Like, we're done with that? They're not going to make them do anything else to ensure these cars aren't easily stealable? Because the cars still exist.
The older cars.
And they're still being sold and bought.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, on the secondary market, people are still driving these cars.
I don't know why
around.
People are buying them. Like, my stepdaughter's car, her Kia, got stolen.
Yes, yes.
And she ended up selling that car. And I couldn't believe what she got for it.
Really?
Who's buying it?
Yeah, that is interesting.
Because
you're right. Like, I can understand being stuck with that car.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you bought it maybe before you knew all this was going on.
I didn't think she could unload it.
But even if you got a great deal on it, I wouldn't think it's worth a headache.
Yeah.
Two thoughts there. Because your stepdaughter sold it to a dealership, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay.
So either the cars are being shipped overseas where this hasn't presented as a problem.
Okay.
Or... the cars are so inexpensive because of the issues that they've had that people are willing to take a risk. You know, this is what I can afford.
All
yes,
right,
it's a potential problem, but it's better than not having anything at all,
maybe.
But going back to this, the most interesting part of the story, the cars that would get taken were just found later because it was a bunch of teenagers stealing them for joyrides, and that was that. Now, whether or not the car being found was still drivable was a different story. But why all of a sudden are people trying to flip them? Because... these can't be the folks flipping these stolen cars, the same teenage kids who were stealing them to begin with, right?
No, this has got to be a little bit more organized.
Okay, so now we have grown-ass people in this game now?
Yeah, there's money in it.
Okay.
I mean, they see the value, and hey, you got a car here I can sell.
But why did it take this long?
Oh, that's a good point.
Because I remember having a discussion on the show a couple of years ago when, you know, folks had all these ideas to stop these teenagers from stealing cars, and the point that I think you had made is... there's no motivation to get them to stop, right? They're not in it for the money. They're in it for the thrill. Like, we're not prepared to stop these kids from doing this because the motivation for it is really, really stupid. I mean, the good news in this story.
Good news.
Is if you stop the ability for these guys to scam, they have no reason to steal the car.
Right, they go away.
Exactly.
They move on to the next thing.
But the bad news is, if you have a bunch of teenagers that have no experience in this stuff, able to rip these cars off. If you now have adults that can organize,
it even more efficient.
Now it's harder to stop the cars from getting stolen.
Right.
And I guess my question is to do like a local news scare tactic story. Are we standing on the precipice of a new wave of stolen cars? Tonight at 11.
Yeah.
Also, your dog will kill you. That's at 11:15.
Yeah.
Like, that would be a very inconvenient situation for a lot of folks that still drive these cars.
Yes. Yeah, oh, absolutely. But I guess these pros don't beat the cars up, right? Because they want to sell them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, these kids tear the cars up. They just basically trash them and then they move on.
Yeah, yeah.
But these professionals know what they're doing.
Sure. And I guess the argument is, like, you know, folks over 18, if they're doing this, you can actually punish them, right? Because the argument against, the argument about why these cars have been stolen by the kids over and over again is, you know, they're under, they're 17 and under. You're not going to hold that against somebody who ends up being 29, you know? Could you imagine stealing a car at 15 and at 29 years old, you can't get a job because of the thing that happened?
Right.
But outside of that, seems like a bigger problem than it is a solution to the problem.
Probably.
All right, great.
We're never going to run out of cars to steal.
252-WCMF, State of New York is warning people that are buying cars on Facebook Marketplace, Craigslist, that there has been a spike in stolen cars that are being sold on the secondary market. The state says they recovered 200 cars in the state that have been bought by victims not knowing they were stolen, some of them in the greater Rochester area. And these scammers have the ability to change the ID numbers, forge titles, get new titles. So even if you were to do your research and check everything with a fine-tooth comb, you still would have a hard time understanding you are buying something stolen. The hardest part about selling a stolen car would have to be having a place to keep that stolen car until you can unload it.
Yeah.
You would need somewhere to keep it hidden.
I don't know. Yeah, I have to really hide it.
Here's why.
Right.
And again, I wish you would remember the discussions we had in the past. That would really help me out a ton, right?
Why would you have to hide it?
Because there have been several stories, and we've talked to people personally on the air, where they got their stolen cars back.
They went looking for their cars.
Yes, they found them in driveways, police, they got a description.
But usually they're close to where they got ripped off. These professionals may not be anywhere in your area. That's my point.
Well, but the greater Rochester area is not a small place. You could be driving somewhere in another town. All of a sudden, that my kid's an honor student at Gates Tyler High School bumper sticker. It's like, that's my car.
Right. Well, wasn't there a story, and this, I guess this was years ago now, but like those, there were kids that were stealing cars and just parking them in a driveway at a house in
Brighton. Yes.
And I think what flagged it was they just had all these cars all of a sudden, and the neighbors were like, what's going on?
Where do you put them then?
Yeah.
They probably have a better area farther away from where they ripped them off.
Okay, but that's just it. Like, I mean, we're also making that mistake again that we made initially.
What's that?
That we're assuming that these folks that are stealing and selling these cars are more complicated than they actually are. It's possible, Tommy, that they have some warehouse near the airport, like every Russian criminal in every 80s movie.
Yep.
You bring the car in here, and they're all holding AK-47s, and there's one man in like a tuxedo
probably
counting
got one of
out like thousands of dollars at a table, right? He's dressed to the nines, but he's just got a wooden table in the middle of a warehouse. No need to put that tuxedo on.
Right.
But this could just be a guy stealing a car, keeping it where he lives until he finds someone to come over and buy it.
Right.
And if that's the case, you would need a garage to keep it out of the eye of everybody
else.
Which
is pretty doable.
But you could only steal one car at a time.
Or if you have a two-car garage.
Okay, I guess
like
two.
Most people have two-car garages.
Yeah, no. Most people don't have two-car garages.
Everybody's got a two-car
garage. Most people do not have two-car garages.
I live in a whole neighborhood of people who do not have two-car garages.
The overwhelming majority of people, if they have a garage, have a one-car garage.
Not new houses.
I also love that...
They had like a three-car garage.
All right, let's talk about the kind of people we're talking here. They're stealing cars to resell them on Craigslist. You think they have a wide...
A warehouse.
...portfolio of residence property?
Busted-ass two-car.
What are you talking about?
Easy done.
Most homes in the greater Rochester area don't have a car you can put a garage you can put a car in.
Well, the older homes.
Bro, these
it's
people...
It's a lot of older homes.
I got
between,
an
like,
home
the city, Rondacoy. Like, I'm just thinking of all these neighborhoods I know that, yeah, you're lucky if you get a car in a garage.
I grew up in Gates. There was not a single two-car garage in my neighborhood. Going further, most people didn't keep their cars in their
garages.
Where'd
you guys work out?
What are you trying to say?
Garage.
What are you saying? Oh, no, I mean, like, that's why. Because you were putting your car in your garage, you were going
to
lay down the
AstroTurf.
Yeah, and you were going to put down the screen.
Had that busted picture of Venice.
Those are your people, man. I'm not going to defend them. They're yours. And like, here's the thing that sucks the most about this story.
What is that?
People are going to keep falling for this, buying cars that are stolen for one simple reason.
Good deal.
Bingo.
But yeah, it's cheap.
Can't pass that up.
It's really hard to say no. If the price is right, you will do everything you can to convince yourself that this is above board. You will unknowingly dismiss red flags because you want a reason to believe that you are getting this.
Yeah, if you're struggling looking for a car. You yeah. can't afford it. Yeah, you jump.
And I think it's more than that. Like, you've talked before, Tommy, about how when people get a great deal, they want to tell everybody. Mm-hmm. So, like, in buying this car, I'm smart. I found this. I negotiated. Mm-hmm. I talked him down. Oh, no, it's been stolen. So, look, if you are buying a used car,
yeah.
the smartest thing to do, it seems, would be to go buy it from a dealership.
Yeah.
And if you're not going to, just make sure that, do it the best you can mm-hmm. to make sure that everything's above board. And if you feel something is a little bit off, go with your gut.
Yeah, if it's too good.
Yeah, yeah exactly. Yeah. All right. There are teams you just don't like. Mm. And high on that list for Bills fans, the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah.
It's a rivalry game. But the last few years, rivalry would not really be an accurate way to describe what's happened. And it's very possible this week in Western New York, we see the last breath of this version
oh.
of the Miami Dolphins.
Damn, they got a funeral.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF, Bills Dolphins, 1 o'clock live Sunday, right here on CMF. If you want to watch the game.
Watch it.
Well, you can go to the Bill Gray's Tap Room in Chi-Lai. It'll Ooh, have like, delicious yeah. food, oh, fantastic yeah. drinks. The game will be on. And Tommy will be there.
The actual party machine?
Tommy the party machine.
You know it, buddy.
You've heard of Pat the party machine, but have you heard of Tommy the party machine? Also that? Go watch Tommy watch you eat food. Massive menu. I love the food, man. Again, like I wonder.
You love it on Sunday.
I wonder how much I would have to pay them to be like, just give me.
Oh, they say to go away.
All a taste of everything.
No, I just want a trough of French fries. Mm. Like, oh. just keep bringing fries until I have to leave. Mm. Go hang out with Tommy Sunday at the Bill Gray's Tap Room in Chi-Lai with your friends from 96.5 WCMF. Bills versus Dolphins. Tommy has become a measuring stick for both. The game has become a measuring stick for both teams in the AFC East the last couple of years, right? For the Bills, it was proof that they still own the division.
Mm-hmm.
And for Miami, it was a way to see where they are in comparison to good NFL teams, right? Like, you see the Bills twice every year, and the Bills have been really good the last couple
And they've been
years.
Pushing them around.
Exactly. Has not gone well for Miami. Despite putting up huge numbers against run-of-the-mill opponents, the Bills have been the Dolphins' kryptonite.
Hell, you almost killed that quarterback twice.
Yeah, it's not good. Josh Allen.
Oh, no, never mind. I was thinking of also the Jets quarterback, but.
Yeah, different one.
Yeah, different, different game.
Josh Allen has owned them. Josh Allen has had the best games of his career against Miami. The defense shuts them down. Over their last three meetings, you ready for this?
What?
Miami's speed and scary offense has averaged just 15 points against the Buffalo wow. Bills. And then you get to the head coaches of these two teams.
Yeah.
Tommy, they could not be more opposite people.
Well, yeah. One actually looks like a coach.
Mike McDaniel in Miami.
Yeah. He does. He looks like a guy who's on vacation.
All the time.
Yeah.
All the time. He's flashy. He's an offensive guy. He's cool. He's wearing $30,000 watches and deadstock sneakers on the sideline during games. He had that I wish it were colder t-shirt mm-hmm. that he wore before they lost a game yeah. in Buffalo. Yeah.
He's
really
a wise ass.
Their lesson there.
Yeah. yeah. Okay. Wise ass is a perfect
He's just a
way
wise
to put it.
Ass.
Yes. Yeah.
And when he was hired, he was going to change the way you thought about football.
The culture.
Yeah, because doesn't he look at football differently?
He does, yeah.
yeah.
Sideways. He's Ivy League, man. Went and played football at Yale, and you're doing it wrong, and here's how it should be done. Man. And then you have Sean McDermott.
Yeah.
Very old school defensive coach. Very quiet. Mm. Very humble.
Shut up and do your job.
If the man, Kimmy, could go to work and go right home, he would.
Yeah. Mm.
McDermott has McDaniel's number big time. He's 5-1 against him. The only game that he's lost was that first one, that weird Heat game
oh,
3
God,
years ago.
Yeah, where people were dropping. Yeah. And they almost won that game.
They should have won
Is
that game.
Is that the one where the offensive coordinator melted down in the booth?
Ken Dorsey.
Yeah. Yep.
But because McDermott has had McDaniel's number this week, we could be looking at the end.
All right.
We watch the Bills every week. So it's easy to find little things we don't like and complain about with our team. But let's turn the table around 180 degrees.
All right, now what?
Look at the Bills from the point of a Miami view. Fact! You cannot make noise in the NFL playoffs without winning your division.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going deep.
Yeah.
And the Dolphins cannot win the division with Buffalo in the way. They just can't do it. If it were going to happen, it was going to happen in the last 24 months. The Dolphins spent a lot of money on their roster. Big extension for Tua. Big extension for wide receiver Tyreek Hill. Big contract for defensive pieces that were going to shut down Josh Allen. And they thought the Bills were cooling off, Tommy.
Mm-hmm.
They were vulnerable last year. Miami had a 3-game lead with just a few weeks to go in the AFC East, and they blew it.
Yeah.
Then in the offseason this year, Bills lose all of those veterans. Stephon Diggs is gone. Miami fans are laughing. This is the year. The Dolphins were primed to take that step forward and put the Bills in their rearview mirror.
Yeah.
If the Bills win this game on Sunday, Miami is pretty much done for the season. And if that happens, why would the Dolphins roll it back with what they have again next year?
Who owns them? I mean, is it like some nut job?
I think they're owned by like 15 different people.
Like a company?
Split owners.
I don't know. Kimmy, you want to check it out?
Because they don't have like a face of the franchise guy.
I can't. Now that you bring it up, I can't think of the
face. Like some billionaire?
Yeah, it's not like a Robert Kraft, Jerry
Jones. You would think. There's so many rich guys.
Steven Ross?
Oh,
Rossi.
No, I actually did.
Rossi.
What percentage does he own?
All of it.
It does say he was at one point this year close to selling minority stakes, but it seems like he's really the majority owner.
All right.
What I'm getting at is this. If Miami loses this game on Sunday to the Bills.
So you think what? They clean house?
They should fire Mike McDaniel, the head coach of the Dolphins. He should be out.
Right. You know, Tua's not long for this game.
Well, but here's the thing, man. They just signed him to a contract.
It doesn't matter. I don't think he can actually play.
Physically.
He's going to get sacked again hard. And he's going to be done.
I know.
Like, he's just a house of cards,
I'm
man.
I'm really worried about this, especially this weekend, because the Bills get after him. That's how you beat him. You blitz him.
They did it to him. They're the reason he is the way he is. They did that to him twice.
Well, I would argue the reason everything happened is Mike McDaniel let him play in the second half of that game. That was the first
game. But
that's
when the hands got crazy, and then they did it again.
Yeah.
I mean, does it feel like, though, because you're right, like... just the way that Miami season is gone, the Bills should win this easily. But does it kind of feel like if Miami's going to beat the Bills, like this would be a game where they, you know, find that within themselves to do so? Because like you said, like this game means way more to Miami at this point than it does to the Bills.
Sure. No, look, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. But when you look at talent and coaching.
Yeah.
Who's pulling away?
Exactly.
Right.
Right? I mean, look, for... if Miami can't beat the one team that stands between them and making a legitimate playoff run, why are those pieces going to be there? The Dolphins legitimately have one of the most talented rosters in the NFL.
Mm.
And Mike McDaniel, genius, has never won a playoff game. For all the issues that Bills fans have had with this team, for all the years we've sat here asking, why can't we get over the hump? What is wrong with Sean McDermott? All the frustration that fans have vocalized with the coach and his perceived shortcomings. This is paradise. Compared to what Dolphins fans have, they're in purgatory. They win just enough to squeak into the playoffs, and then they watch their team get their ass kicked.
Yeah.
You don't get a home playoff game. You don't get an easy first matchup. They've gotten the Bills and the Chiefs in the first round the last 2 years. You have all of this hype and all of this attention and all of this talk, and you've got nothing to show for it.
Yeah, but you still live in a cool city.
Okay, but that doesn't help Mike McDaniel when he's 2-6.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, Kimmy, what reason? Give me one reason why Mike McDaniel, if they lose this game on Sunday, should be the head coach of the Dolphins next year.
The only reason I'm thinking is just it's your best option right now. And then when we...
yeah, who's around?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, who's... I don't even know who...
some
like,
college
would take
guy?
Over.
Well, but Mike McDaniel was... I mean, you didn't know who Mike McDaniel was before he was hired, right?
No.
He's an offensive whiz kid playing or working for the 49ers.
No, there's like some college guy that's out there that's looking to make the jump.
There's always someone at the end of the season.
Yeah, but
that's
they won't know that
guy.
Until the end of the
give
season.
Give me a good Urban Meyer.
No.
We figured out that doesn't work very well.
No. Yeah, can you name, like Jimmy Johnson's the only college to NFL head
Jimmy
coach.
Jimmy Johnson.
Name another college to NFL head coach that worked. Nick Saban?
I think he's the only one that's won a national championship
and
Super Bowl.
Three
rings, baby. It's on the back of his boat.
Is it really?
His boat says three rings.
What a douchebag.
What?
What do you mean, what? Doing boner commercials?
You wouldn't put that on the back of your boat if you won three rings and you
boat.
Own a yacht?
I mean, just owning a yacht in general makes you a douche.
So douche it up.
Okay.
What are you going to call it? Dock sucker?
I like that better than three rings. Like or it's better name. 252-WCMF, 252-9263. Again, if the Dolphins cannot beat the Bills on Sunday, what is the point of bringing back what you have again next year? Why does Mike McDaniel, the Dolphins head coach, still have a job? He's 5-1 against Sean McDermott, right? This would be the second year in a row where the Bills sweep you. Sweep.
Yeah, so you clean house.
Okay, but I mean, the argument for Buffalo, the guys that wanted, men and women that wanted Sean McDermott fired earlier this season, the argument of who's better is a legitimate argument. Mm. In Miami, I don't think that's a legitimate argument, because how much worse can it get? It's better for you to be bad, because at least then you can rebuild your team through the draft.
Okay.
They're in that mushy middle.
Yeah, the Bills were stuck in for a long time.
Exactly. Granted, Miami has snuck into the playoffs, right? But, like... You can't get better with draft capital, right. But you can't get worse because you have these people under contract, so it's just like...
Blow it out.
People are tweeting at us, coaches that had success. Pete Carroll, Jim Harbaugh.
Okay. Harbaugh. But Jimmy Johnson, no, because Pete Carroll won a... No, Pete Carroll won a national championship and a Super Bowl.
So he would have been the second one to do it.
Yeah, I guess
he... Maybe Jimmy Johnson was the first.
That sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Then we'll go with it. You know what I'm really loving here?
What's that?
Okay, like the Jets win last night. Mm-hmm. Jets fans, because they're insane, have decided this is the turning point of the season where the Jets go on a run. They're going on a run, baby.
Epic comeback.
Yep, they're going to win the AFC East. They're going to make a run to the Super Bowl. Over the last 3 years, the Bills have wrecked the best laid plans of two franchises.
Oh, yeah.
And you know I am super petty, right? Petty LaBelle. Miami made all their moves. It did nothing. The Jets made all their moves. It did worse than nothing. Both teams put all their chips to the center of the table to try and dethrone what Buffalo has. And the Bills just simply swatted them away. Like, what a massive kick in the scrot. Because what Miami and New York did in an effort to try and take down Buffalo and fail will take years to recover from. Years. All the money and dead cap they're going to have when Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams,
so Tua Tagovailoa,
yeah, Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, these contracts they signed, this is going to take years to recover from.
So this is a great place for Buffalo to be in.
You own it. It is. It's just,
if you don't blow it.
It is amazing how that happened and how the Bills just like took those shots and were like, yeah, okay, great. And it's almost worse than what the Patriots did to the division for all those years. Granted, the Patriots had way more success and were winning Super Bowls. No team really tried to compete with New England. Like, there was almost like this idea, like,
we're going
to
compete for second place kind of thing.
Because you couldn't figure out Tom Brady.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, name one massive move outside of Mario Williams where the Bills pushed all their chips into the center of the table and were like, we're going after New England. They never tried it.
Yeah. I can't think of one. No.
Dolphins never tried it. Jets never tried it. We tried to wait them out. These teams believed, oh, we see a weakness in the Bills, and you just keep embarrassing yourself, right? You're like the Coyote. Just over and over again, running into a brick wall and off a cliff. And I'm loving it, man. I love
this. So it should be fun on Sunday.
Well, that's just
it. Should be a candy.
This game does scare me.
Yeah.
Why? Well, all that scares you.
When teams get desperate, I mean, just every now and then, just things will line up for that team. You know what I mean?
All right, I'm going to share with you two quick statistics that I will bring back up again when you make your picks at 7:45. Okay. The reason these games scare me.
Right.
One. The Bills right now are favored by 5.5 points. Mm. Since 2020, when the Bills are favored by 4 or more points against the Dolphins, they're 0-5 against the spread.
Oh, interesting.
So that was one time?
No. 0-5.
Against the spread?
Against the spread. Now, granted, they won. They lost one time, but that indicates a
tight
close
game
which means, you know, one play one way, one play the other. Two, we talked about how desperate this Miami team is. If McDaniel is coaching for his job, which I think he knows he is, you got nothing to lose.
Okay, you let it all hang out.
But the scariest statistic I'm going to tell you.
Number three.
We fall back this weekend. Change of clocks. The last three games the Bills have played the day after a clock change, they're 0-3.
What's wrong? That doesn't even make any sense. Because they're off their schedule.
Here's why it does. Sean McDermott is the most regimented head coach in the NFL. Mm. We're not making this up. His rookie year as a head coach, the week before opening day, he made the entire roster do a pretend game day. He had them get up
on the news clock.
No, this was his first day. His first season as a head coach, the week before opening day, he made them get up. He made them drive to the stadium. He made them go through.
Get in the routine.
Get their uniforms on, go through pregame. Then they got to go back in, get undressed, and go home. Mm. McDermott measures everything down to the second. The last three seasons that they have played the Sunday after back, they have lost that game.
Yeah, but that was...
But were they home?
Because
I think home makes a
difference. Since they lost, they were on the road. I don't know about the other two.
That's but you play different time zones and schedules throughout the year.
You're right.
That sounds more like coincidence than anything.
Could be.
It is.
Well, look, one time's a coincidence, two times a pattern, three times you poop your pants. That's how scared you are.
You poop yourself.
I just poop my pants.
You should see a doctor about that.
Tommy will make his picks. Now, keep that in mind with your picks coming up.
I don't believe it.
Okay. No, you can believe. It happened.
I just think it's a coincidence.
Okay.
I wouldn't factor that into my dynamite picks.
Okay, that's fine.
Because I've got dynamite picks.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.